The Wilson Rush Podcast with your host Wilson Rush, also with T-Lip, Farrell Wilson, and C-Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 miles. Rev City, your world. DJ Cliff, we the best, the chemist music group. The Rush Wilson Podcast starts now.
Yes, sir. Hope everyone enjoyed this college football weekend, because it hit us real hard. We had games every day this weekend. It was a beautiful thing to sit back and watch. We got the usual suspects today, C. Rush and T. Will. C. Rush, man, you all right?
Yeah, you know me, man. I'm feeling good today. How about yourself?
Can't complain, man. Short week, man. Short four-day work week, man. Can't complain. T. Will, man, you okay?
Yeah, man, I'm hanging in there, man. Short week, just ready to get after it, man. Go Blue.
That's right, man. Go Blue. Yeah, we got a good one for you today. We're going to talk about Notre Dame and Michigan. We're going to preview that one, of course. It might be the last time that Notre Dame visits the Big House for a while. And we're going to talk about Johnny Football as well. He only got a half suspension, and he's giving out dollar signs, and he's acting like he's signing autographs during the game. So we'll talk about that situation as well. And we're going to, where we left off last time is we previewed the big games this week. From last week. So we'll recap those, and we'll talk about what we saw from Michigan and Michigan State from week one. But C. Rush, you good?
Hey, you know I'm always good after a Michigan win.
No, that's right, man. It's all about winning. Alright, so T. Will, let's jump to you on this one, and let's start with that TCU-LSU game. As we talked about last week, it's tough to go undefeated if you lose that first game, T. Will.
Yeah, it's always tough when you drop the first game, but short memory, you know, just like a quarterback, and they have to forget about it. You know, Sunday come in film review, and on Monday they have to get ready for their week two opponent. So they have to have a short memory and look at it as a start of a new season and just continue to progress from here. But as far as the LSU-TCU game goes, fine. I was kind of impressed the way TCU played. I didn't expect them to put up that kind of fight. They were tough. You know, offensively, they moved the ball. They put up some points. And that LSU defense, you know, they gave up a few more points than I would expect them to non-conference. But I was really surprised with their offense and their passing game, because the staple of LSU is pretty much, you know, play defense, run the ball, make a few plays on special teams, and win some ball games. But, you know, they put the ball up in the air, made some plays, and that kind of surprised me for that LSU team. And TCU, you know, those guys are tough, man. Coach Patterson, he keeps some guys, some tough guys, and I see why TCU year in and year out is in the mix in the conversation of BCS bowl games.
I agree with you, T. Will, and all you said there. But, I have to ask you, 27 points given up by LSU, do they just chalk it up and say, hey, well, TCU, they're a pretty good team? Or do they say, hey, this is unacceptable?
Well, they have to go back to the drawing board here. I mean, that's a lot of points for a non-conference game. And nothing against TCU. They're just not any ordinary team. But at the same time, they're not an SEC team. You know, the SEC is where you battle and grind it out at. And you may expect to see an SEC offense put up that many points against maybe an LSU defense. But not a non-conference opponent like TCU. I was expecting, you know, maybe that 10 to 14, maybe 17 point area for TCU. But, you know, to jump up to 27, close to 30 points, that's a lot. And it should definitely be a concern for those Tigers.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's a lot of points, but it is week one. You can't really go off any recent film. So maybe they can chalk it up to that one. But I know LSU, I know Les Miles, he's going to say that's unacceptable. But see, Rush, let's go right to you and let's talk about Bama, Virginia Tech. I cut the game off, you know, when it started getting ugly. But I really did enjoy what I saw in that game. See, Rush, talk about that, though.
I mean, once again, Bama flexed their powerhouse muscle. You know, you look up, Bama has scored a special teams, a defensive and an offensive touchdown, all in the first three touches, you know. So that goes to show that Nick Saban team is probably the best prepared team in the country, the most disciplined team in the country. And that's one thing that I really appreciate about Nick Saban. Not only does he have the talent, not only does he have, you know, the best players, he has the discipline. When you can put all that together, that's very important. The offense looked good, the defense looked good, because you know what? God bless Frank Beamer for coming out and playing that first game of the year every year, but he need to stop scheduling those games first game of the year. You know, just leave Alabama and those guys alone, because you know what? They're not playing for just the first week, and then we'll hear about them in November like most teams do that play the first week. They're playing. It's a target on them every game that they play from here on out. And they came out and showed why they're the defending national champions.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Why play those teams? I have no idea. But see, Rush, do you think Virginia Tech is going to be able to say, okay, relax, you know, we can still get it going here. This is Alabama. We're not on their level. Or do you think this can kind of crush you for the rest of the season?
No, not necessarily. You know, Michigan bounced back. Virginia Tech always plays these type of games, and they bounce back every year. They're an excellent coach football team. You know, they don't have the talent that an Alabama team has. They're not in that conference of an SEC as well. They're in the ACC. So they're going to be competitive in that conference, you know, other than Florida State, Clemson. You know, they got a shot to get to that ACC championship game. So it shouldn't be a confidence killer, but you know, they got to just take what they learned from that. Like it doesn't get any harder. I could say that. So that the bar is set high.
Yeah. It's a pretty good team. They opened up the season with, before we get to our final game, C. Rush, I want to jump back to you, T. Will, and, you know, talk about the upsets here. I mean, you can go whatever order you want to go in. I really don't care. But, I mean, the Arts of McNeese State, I mean, they just popped USF. And I have no sympathy for these guys. There's no way you should be playing these teams anyway. It doesn't get your team better. I have no sympathy when these 1AA schools come in and beat you, because you shouldn't be playing them anyway. That's just me.
Well, absolutely fine. You know, for USF, you know, to get popped by McNeese State. And not only that, but to add salt to the wound, fine, they cut them a check for $400,000. So, I mean, to pay somebody $400,000 to give you your first loss and to probably kill any kind of BCS bowl dream season that you may have had, it's gone. You know, Eastern Washington, you know, they beat up Oregon State. It was a great game. Not to take anything from Eastern Washington. They're in it year in and year out, you know, in that sub D1 level. But, I mean, it's just rough, huh? I mean, North Dakota State, you know, they went in and beat Kansas State in Kansas State as they unveiled the new statue of their head coach Snyder out in front of the building. So, way to open up that building, you know. It was amazing. I mean, Northern Iowa, you know, they went over to Iowa State, you know, and beat them. So, I mean, how's that going to impact recruiting in the state of Iowa? You know, why go to Iowa State when you come to Northern Iowa? So, I mean, that's a rough one. I mean, and this was, I mean, I can't remember upset weekend like we had here. I mean, Eastern Illinois over San Diego State was crazy. Townsend over UConn. And it was just crazy. I mean, so many upsets. It's becoming the norm now. I mean, you get about maybe 4 to 5 a season, but to pull off this many in one weekend, man, guys, it was about 6 or 7 of them. And some of these guys' season are dead. I mean, they can't do anything now. I don't know. It's going to be rough, and it's a terrible way to start off your season. But like you alluded to beforehand, fine, you shouldn't have scheduled these teams in the first place.
Yeah, T, but now here's the thing about this. Now, this is what I want to ask you from a coach perspective, because let's be honest. I mean, it sucks to lose to these teams. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, there's no way to sugarcoat that. Like, it sucks. But it's not a conference game. You can still win. You can still go to a BCS game. You can still compete to win your conference. So as a coach, you can get in front of that chalkboard and you can have a team meeting. You can explain all these things. But let's talk real talk here, though, T-Wheel. Do you think the players' ears are going to go off to the coaches now that we just lost to McNeese State by 30, that we just lost to Northern Iowa? Do you think their ears are going off You know, because sometimes as a coach, you got to give players confidence. But they're not going to believe. Are they going to believe it just losing to these 1AA schools, T?
Well, the thing about it is, fine, when you're scheduling, if you want to go for a lesser opponent, that's fine. You know, if you want to have yourself a so-called preseason game, that's fine. Okay? But if you're going to do it, you have to do it. You know, don't go put Eastern Washington on your schedule, because at the 1AA level, I'm telling you right now, that's one of the best in the business. You know, so if I'm gonna put a lesser opponent, I'm gonna put a lesser opponent. I'm gonna go to Eastern Washington Division and see who finished last, and let's bring them up. Let's beat up on them. You know, so if I'm gonna play somebody that's pretty good, then you know what? I'm gonna play somebody that's D1 that's pretty good. You know, what's your goal here? I mean, because realistically, there's a lose-lose situation from Oregon State playing Eastern Washington. For one, they're already getting better recruits than them. Okay, and for two, if you lose, it devastates you and brings up their season. And then two, if you win, hey, you're supposed to win anyway. You know, so it's kind of a lose-lose. If you're going to get a team you want to beat up, bring a team in that you can beat up. And if you want to go against someone that you want a good game with, hey, go sign a team that's ranked in the top 25. So at least if you win that game, you know, you can go up in the rankings.
Yeah, T. Will talked about a $400,000 check. For those of you who don't know, it's what we call guarantee games. And guarantee games is, it basically guarantee a smaller school some money. But I'm going to tell you guys what, because of these losses, I got to be honest with you guys. I think people are going to start putting clauses in these contract guys and say, hey, you know what, it's $400,000, but if you beat us, it's only going to be $100,000. Because, you know, we can't just sign off on a check and then you beat us. Like, that's got to hurt, like you said, T-Will. That's ridiculous. But, see, Rush, let's get to you and let's talk about our last one. And we all agreed on this one, that Clemson, Georgia would be a doozy. We all agreed on about that. So what did you see in that game? That was a great game.
That was a great game. What I seen was Taj Boyd outplay Aaron Murray when it counted, you know. And once again, like that was the thing I wanted to see, you know. Can they overcome that crowd there at Clemson? Because it was a crazy atmosphere. It was loud the entire game. Even when Clemson had the ball, it was loud, you know. What a display of athletes we were privileged to see that night, you know. First game of the season, that's a real treat. Both teams played well offensively. You know, it was more high scoring than I thought it would be. But, you know, it being the first game of the season, that tends to happen. So, you know, defenses will buckle down and, you know, first game in the year, you're playing a top five, top 18. You are going to throw the kitchen sink at them. You know, you can't throw the whole playbook out there, but you gotta do something kind of exotic to counter that good defense on the other side. And, you know, Taj Boyd, he just pretty much dictated that game in the second half, you know, and, it was a spell there when Georgia had the ball first and goal and they went very conservative. That's something that I didn't like that they did, because it reminded me in my eyes of them losing to Alabama again last year. You know, they went real conservative again, you know. So instead of trying to take a shot at the end zone and trusting your senior quarterback, you know, they take one shot, then draw. You know, if you're trying to win a national championship, you got to go out with your guns blazing. So that's the only thing that I didn't like on the Georgia end. But what I took back was that Clemson's and Georgia is a good team. So, in that SEC conference, they don't get any easier for them. They got South Carolina next, but Clemson looks very good.
Yeah, I agree. Best tradition that I've ever seen. We all knew that they ran down the hill, but that going around and all those buses and the coaches jumping out, that's the best tradition that I have seen. I gotta be honest with you guys. That was pretty cool. But see, Rush, now let me ask you this. I mean, I know this has nothing to do with that game, but can these guys hold on? Hold on. And if they hold on to be undefeated, see, Rush, at the end of the day, they can say we're ACC champs and we beat Florida State and we beat Georgia. That's a heck of a resume. But the question is, do you think that they can hold on and do that, though?
I'm going to be honest. The cards are in their favor. Florida State comes to them. So those tough games they have at home, you know, and that ACC championship, I believe, is going to be in Charlotte this year. So that's in their backyard, so to speak. It's right there on the border of North Carolina and South Carolina. So I believe that they can run the table. in the ACC conference. You know, it's not playing in the SEC. That goes to their advantage. So those tough games they're going to have to play, the only ones that really stand out looking at their schedule was this game, Florida State, you know, and if they have to cross over and play Miami, eventually in the ACC championship game, you know. So North Carolina, maybe, but, you know, I think they can run the table.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, they always have a problem with the Marylands, and they have some letdowns. So yeah. I can't put my faith in them yet until they beat those teams for sure. So we'll definitely keep our eye on them. But like you said, they go undefeated, heck of a resume. But T Will, let's talk about the home teams now, and let's jump to Sparty and let's talk about them and against Western Michigan. I mean, what did you see from Sparty?
Well, I seen exactly what we talked about, Fon. I seen a defense that buckled down. They held that Western offense. They came out and moved the ball a little bit. Then Narduzzi, he held that thing down for them. But offensively, I seen a struggle. I seen an offense with no identity, Fon. Everyone knows Michigan State is a run first team. I just don't know if they're going to be able to run the ball with success in the Big Ten. And if they can't run the ball, now you're talking about putting the ball in the air. So I don't know if Michigan State has what it takes on the offensive end to get it done this year, and getting it done, I mean, contend for a Big Ten title, because that's, you know, everyone's goal in the Big Ten. They want to win that conference championship. You know, they want to go to the Rose Bowl. They want to go to a BCS national championship game. So I don't think they have what it takes this year. Now, to flip the script, maize and blue wise, I think Michigan has the tools, Fine. I think they have the tools to get your job done. And not just the tools, guys, they have the players. They have the players at key positions. I hate Jake Ryan is out, because that piece to our defense could really have put us over the hump this year in my eyes. I like what I see from Devin Gardner. I like what I see from our running game. I like what I see from our defense. Those guys are flying around. They're pursuing after the ball. It's gang tackles, guys. It's second man in. It's stripping. These guys are doing everything I see, you know. They have all the ingredients to get to that promised land, guys, to win a conference championship.
Yeah, T. Will, let's stick with State here for a second, then we'll get to Michigan. But I want to ask you, I want to talk about this for a second with Michigan State. You know how sometimes you make a statement and some smart aleck always, you know, just always got to jump and disagree? Because I said the other day, T, I've never seen a team at this elite level that their offense is so horrible and their defense is so good. And the guy said, yeah, well, the Ravens won a Super Bowl like that with Trent Dilfer. I said, yeah, they had a great running back and a great offensive line. Nice try. Have you ever seen something like this, T, at this level where these guys are just, the offense is just so bad, but the defense is just so good?
Well, not just consistent, because it's like this is year in and year out. Shane said it, I believe, last time we were on. But Le'Veon Bell had like 3.2 million carries last year for Michigan State. He was their offense, you know. So I've never seen a team that was this unbalanced year after year after year. You know, now what I do see down the line with them bringing Curtis Blackwell on their Michigan State staff, he's going to be in charge of recruiting Detroit, and he just got a commitment from J.Ru Campbell at Cass Tech and some other Detroit guys. So in the future, in the next 3 to 4 years, I do see some things changing on their offense because of personnel they'll be getting. But no, Fine, I haven't seen a team that was so unbalanced like this Michigan State team. I mean, and it's consistently unbalanced. It's like you know what's coming. Strong defense, and you know what? Hey, let's just hope we're not punting all game on offense.
Yeah, T, I mean, you say 3 to 4 years down the line, we got to hope he's there, because I don't see them coming close to 8 wins this year. I just personally don't see it. See, Rush, what did you see from Sparty on Friday night?
It's like I said on the previous podcast, and I think we all said it, when your quarterback situation's in disarray going into this game, then you're going to be in trouble, you know, because for one, this is a MAC team going against a so-called powerhouse team of a power conference. You know, you're supposed to come out here and make a statement. The only statement that I took from this game was they don't know who they don't have identity on offense. they don't have the playmakers on offense, or if they do, they can't get the ball in their hands, you know. So it was a struggle. It looked just so sluggish and looked bad. Like they were trying so hard offensively, but they couldn't get it done. So now they're going through another quarterback shuffle, and they're thinking about not redshirting a freshman this year and throwing them out there, you know. And that's the type of stuff that's not good. You know, I know T. Will said, you know, Ja Rule from Cass State may be coming or will be coming there, but 4 years from now, you got to worry about this year. You can't be at the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl again with this defense, you know. Let's not take for granted they do have a great defense. But when you have a terrible offense, you know, that's not going to fly. You know, you can't win games 12-7. Like you said, they're not the Ravens. They're still, these are kids. This is Michigan State, you know. So you may be able to stop the Western Michigans or the Iowas, but you won't be able to stop elite offenses in this conference. And it's setting up as a disaster right now. You know, luckily they have Youngstown State. They got a game to get it together. But if they look terrible and porpoise against them, then it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, Michigan State reminds me of a basketball team. Is when you see them play, their offense lacks, but their defense is so good in basketball. You're like, okay, obviously all practice. This is a defensive coach. They work on defense. You shouldn't look like that in football, though. I don't understand that. Their offense looks like it has no rhythm. Their wide receivers can't catch at all. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, but see, Rush, I just want to be honest. I mean, can they be successful with a great defense and a terrible offense year in and year out?
No, you can't, because you know what? You're wasting that defense. You know, if I don't care how good your defense is on any level. If they're out there 60-75% of the snaps, they're going to get worn down. You know, if you're going three and out, and teams are putting together these Big Ten drives and they're pounding it, even though they may come away with three, may come away with six, but your defense is constantly on the field, they can't be elite anymore. That's going to make them elite a little bit in average, you know. So until they get it together, they're just going to look bad. So you can't win like that, especially with a not even average offense. You won't be able to win.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but I love it. Just going to be honest. But anyway, enough of Sparty. Let's talk about my boys. Yes, sir. So, T-Will. Now, I mean, I expected our offense to kind of do what they did, T-Will. I'm going to be honest. That's what I expected. But I didn't think the defense replacing all those guys was going to be that good right now, T-Will. Now, I know it was against Central Michigan, and, you know, we showed you guys how a Big Ten team should do a MAC opponent. But T-Will, I was impressed more with the defense.
Yeah, the defense, I mean, the defense played very solid, fine. I mean, the defense really gave us hope. I mean, man, for Michigan to be able to, you know what, to say that they can lean on their defense, we haven't been able to say that in a long time, fine. But this is old Michigan right here. Brady Hoke is taking us back. He's giving us a blast from the past. Run the football, lean on your defense. I mean, everyone knows that's the winning formula in football. And he's back to it. Our defense, like I said, flying around, stroking people, guys. And we're back to running that rock. So it's very comfortable to know when the weather changes that our defense is still going to be flying around. It doesn't matter whether it's hot or cold or snow or rain. That defense is going to be rolling. So that's very comfortable.
See, Rush, I'll let you in. I mean, I know T gave his piece earlier, but, I mean, what did you see from Michigan? Because like I said, see, Rush, I gotta be honest. I mean, I expected, you know, against a MAC defense for Devin Gardner to light him up. That's what I expected. But I saw that defense. That's what really had me jumping up and down on the couch.
Yeah, that, I believe Devin Gardner threw an interception, and Central got the ball within the 10, and we stopped him. You know, that's a Michigan defense before this one, that would have been 7 points. So they gained my confidence in that respect, you know. Holding a team to 9 points on any level is a tough thing to do, because, you know, after we went up by so much and you see the reserves come in, you know, the scheme stays the same, but just different personnel. So that's what I was excited about, you know, the depth that we have. You know, usually when the ones come off and the twos come on, you may see a touchdown giving up or something giving up. But that depth is there. That's something that we're going to need in this Big Ten, and if we want to go on and do bigger things. Offensively, they came out and did exactly what I thought they were going to do. They ran the ball efficiently, and they did a lot of positive stuff, you know. I'd like to see Devin a little bit more accurate. But you know what? I can't be choosy, nitpicky, but that's what I like to see. But defense, they came out and did everything that I needed to see done.
Yeah, before we move on, I just want to say I agree with T. Will, what he said earlier. We can win the Big Ten championship from what I've seen, and not just from what I've seen from Michigan. Last year at this time, I saw a lot of teams that really scared me. Like, I know Notre Dame is not in the Big Ten, and obviously we'll get to that later. But they scared me last year. That team in Ohio, they scared me. Last year, I thought we was better than Sparty. But I said, man, that defense and, you know, with Le'Veon Bell, they scared me a little bit. Wisconsin, new coach, they beat up on somebody this week. I'm just not scared of any of these teams. If we stay focused and we stay healthy, T. Will, I'll give you the last word on this one. But I agree with you, T. I think we can win a Big Ten champion, man. I really do.
Yeah, we absolutely can, Fon, and we fixed a lot of things, and Greg Madison, he has this defense in for a few years, and he has some really talented players underneath him, and they were young when he first came and brought this defense in. Now these guys are veteran, they're upperclassmen, they're juniors now, so they bought into it. He has a Super Bowl winning defense, so I mean it can be done. Ray Lewis flourished under him. So, I mean, we have all the ingredients, guys. All we have to do is go out there and do it on Saturdays.
Yeah, I agree. Go blue. I mean, go blue. That's all we can say on that one. I mean, I didn't see anything from this past week that made me scared of anybody. I just really didn't. All right, well, let's switch gears here. And let's start with you, T. Will, on this one. Let's talk about Johnny Football. So before we go into his antics during the game, because I can't wait to hear what you guys got to say about this, because that was – that's just crazy to me. But let's talk about T, his half-game suspension. Fair foul. What you got?
Fine. That's horrible. That's horrible. A half a game for everything he's put everyone through, his teammates, and pretty much, you know, the NCAA. I mean, my goodness. I mean, something stinks here, guys. Something stinks here. I don't know what it is, but something does stink. A half a game? Really? I thought bare minimum they would say, you know what, let's suspend him for the first two games and at least bring him back for Alabama. They suspended this kid two quarters, you know, and then for him to come back in the second half to make the autograph gesture, to blow off his head coach. I mean, man, what are we talking about here, man? I think we're talking about a bad person, man. I mean, this kid, he just doesn't get it, man. He's one of those kids that it seems like he just does not get it, man. He has all the talent in the world, but it just seems like he could care less. And he's about to throw it all away because at the next level, guys, no one's going to take that gamble and trade up and get him or whatever the case may be. He's going to fall to someone in a late round, and then they're going to say, you know what, well, I kind of have to take him because it's third round or something like that. But I'm telling you, man, this guy's killing his career slowly.
Now, T. Will, I want to ask you this because I want to tell you right now, I completely disagree with this, and I just want to get your opinion on this. Now, a lot of people said that he was only suspended for a half because the NCAA needs him to be on the field, especially for the Alabama game. Now, this is why I disagree. The place is going to be sold out, regardless if Johnny Football plays or not. The game is going to be watched by the same amount of people that would watch it, regardless if he was playing or not. So I totally disagree with that, and I personally think that it was because of the lawyer situation, and they don't want to go to court. That's my opinion, and T, I mean, I just want to get your opinion on that one.
Oh, I do think that lawyer has something to do with it. I do. Like I said, something stinks here. Okay, yes, that the game's going to be sold out. yes, pretty much the same amount of people's going to watch the game, but I tell you what wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have been the same entertainment value. It wouldn't have been one of those signature games like we always talk about in college football. You know, this game has the making of being one of those signature games. Alabama coming off a loss last year, you know, at their house, you know, and Johnny Manziel coming with all of this, this off-season troubles and issues and things like that. This is going to be a highly touted game and may go down as one of the best ever. So that's the value that it brings. Of course, it's going to be sold out. Of course, people are still going to watch it. But at the same time, it wasn't giving it that entertainment value or that greatness value that this game could possibly go down in history in.
Yeah, I agree. But I mean, I just don't see that bottom line money figure changing. I just don't. But T. Will, one more question before we jump to C. Rush. I want to ask you about the lawyer situation. Now, do you think there's some boosters and alumni saying, you know what? If somebody get in trouble from our school, we can just somehow magically get them a lawyer. Do you think that is some boosters and alumni thinking about that now?
Well, it's more than thinking about. It's some guys out here, they're licking their chops now. They're licking their chops because I'm going to tell you guys right now, Johnny Manziel, he just went down road that no one had went down, and now everyone's eager to go down. Okay, if you get in trouble, don't worry about it. We're going this route. So the NCAA, I hope they're smart enough to understand that they're going to have to be able to do some things too. They may have to hire a whole nother department just to take care of this. But you know, this is like a game changer. Fine, this is a game changer for guys who get in trouble.
I agree. I mean, I think we're about to see a lot of people lawyering up. And you're going to be like, man, how he afford him? And I don't know. He just got him. He's pro bono. Ain't that what they – that's what they, we got him pro bono. Yeah, right. So, CC Rush, let's go to you on this one. I mean, you think that half is fair or foul?
That's very foul. And like I said, you know, if it's something fishy to it. We all know that. I mean, you get a half. Why are you suspending that? If you spend them for a half, what's the reason? And the case is closed now. If he did something illegal, then we don't know what it was. And it's not even out in disclosure yet. You know, it's something fishy behind here, and the lawyers had something to do with it, and money has something to do with it probably. You know, and they don't want that headache, so they're like, you know what, whatever. So it's unfair because you had kids like AJ Green, who sold his jersey. We know he sold his jersey. But you know what? He had to sit out. Didn't get a lawyer. Dez Bryant went to dinner with Deion Sanders. Didn't have a lawyer. You got to miss six games. We don't like that. Johnny Manziel signs 4,900 something pieces. Sit down for a half. You know, that don't, I mean, 2 + 2 is always 4. But this don't add up this time.
But see, Rush, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I wasn't there at the meeting, but I'm telling you, I really do believe that the lawyers sat down and they said, okay, before this even start, I'm telling you right now, my client will not miss an entire game. And you know, the NCAA, they got to, hey, well, you know what? Well, a half then. And that's what I think. That's the way I think that conversation went, because they came out weeks ago when we did the video podcast and we talked about it. The lawyer said, oh, he'll be playing week one. He already said that. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But see, Rush, I want to ask you, though, about this situation, because I think this is key. Do you believe that what T. Will said is right, that there's a lot of people out here licking their chops, and they're just going to say, hey, you know what? If we get caught, we're going to lawyer up.
Yeah, they're doing that. They're the schools and people are actively doing that right now, but you know what? That NCAA department, they're not stupid. They've been hustling for a long time. They're going to figure out ways to try to block it pretty soon, you know. So it's going to be a chess battle going from here on out. Now, how they're going to do it, the legal jargon that must go on with it, I'm not sure. But the same way that these coaches and players are saying, hey, something happened, lawyering up, the NCAA, they don't want to like a fool again, like they look like on Saturday. So you know what? They're going to do something to protect their brand, and I'm not sure what that's going to be, but it's going to get ugly.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys, and T. Will, I want to go back to you on this one, and I'm going to be honest with you guys. I've been reading stuff on the internet. I've been watching ESPN online because, you know, I'm in Canada. I've been watching it online. And there are some people, T. Will, that's saying that all these antics, the dollar signs and the fake autograph signs that he's doing in the air, and they're saying, you know what? Coach Sumlin should sit this guy. T-Wheel. Now, would you explain to our listeners that Coach Sumlin, I feel bad for him out of most out of everybody in this situation. Because you know what? The alumni, the boosters, the supporters, they don't care about the antics. You not sitting this kid. T-Will, would you explain to the listeners how this works at this level, please, so people can stop saying sit this kid?
Well, first off, what we have to understand is this isn't Little League in high school anymore. So it isn't, about, hey, you're late for practice, you're about to sit down, or whatever the case may be. Listen, you have to understand, as a head coach, first off, he has the toughest head coaching job probably in the world right now. He's in the toughest position than any coach I can think of right now. If you don't have the support of your boosters, of your higher ups and things like that, it really doesn't matter what you do. It really doesn't. And he can't sit Johnny Football. It just can't happen. It just can't happen, because now it's more than a pride thing. It's more than, Manziel walking past him on the sideline, while he's talking or whatever the case may be. And it sucks. It sucks, but that's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of the beast. And I'm going to tell you right now, guys, if he loses the support of the boosters and the alumni and things like that, guys, he's basically a dead man walking. So, like I said, he has the toughest coaching job. He's in the toughest position than anybody I can imagine right now.
And this is Texas. I mean, we're not even just talking about somewhere else. We're talking about Texas. I'm so tired of reading that when people say, hey, no one's bigger than the program and things like, I'm so tired of reading that. At this level, Johnny Manziel is playing. Coach Sumlin, he will continue. He will continue, like, hey, he set him in the second half. He'll continue to pick his spots to be that disciplinarian. Once again, we talk about it again. Can you be that guy in the SEC? Well, I tell you what, Johnny Football is going to be playing unless he's injured. I can promise you that. So, C-Rush, you want the last word on this? You got something to add or what?
I mean, like everybody hit the nail on the head. This is bigger than him. So it's tough. You want to sit him. You might want to choke him. But you know what? You want to keep that job, don't you? So you got to play the game like it's meant to be played. If he's on the field doing whatever, yeah. But he's putting millions of dollars in that program. So you know what? He's gonna keep playing. So you gotta like T. Will said, find a spot to discipline him and here and there. But he playing unless he does something outrageous where he gets caught again, then he gonna be playing.
Yeah, Johnny Manziel might bring in millions, but he made some change back. That's what he did. All right, so enough about Johnny Football. He's a topic every day because it's something new. But I honestly couldn't believe that he was doing the autograph thing. I thought he wouldn't do that. Because that's like a slap in the face of the NCAA. That's just my opinion. But let's get right into our freestyle round. And T-Will, you up first, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's get right to it. T-Will, I read today that LeBron James is going to be a producer of a new show on Starz. It's about somebody, I guess it's like a comedy. Two guys made it out the hood or something like that. And, the reason I want to thumbs up if you like that idea, or thumbs down if you don't like it, because if the show sucks and they get canceled, it's going to be another thing to blame him for.
Well, thumbs up. I do like the idea. If I'm LeBron, I can't live my life saying, you know what, if this doesn't work, that's something else they can blame me for and say I'm a failure on. Because if that's the case, he's not going to do anything else in life because he'll be scared to fail. You have to venture out. You have to step out. He's moving forward in life. He's being a producer. So some of the things he's doing outside the court are some of the things that he's always dreamed of doing. So I like what he's doing. And we talk about if he fails that, it's just something else. We're going to talk about LeBron about failing. But what if he succeeds and becomes one of the better producers and produce some great, sitcoms or whatever the case may be, or some great TV shows? So thumbs up. I like him stepping out, and he probably wouldn't be as successful as he was if he didn't fail in the past.
Now, see, Rush, I had to click on it because I'm like, why is ESPN talking about TV? If it ain't 30 for 30, ESPN kind of leaves it alone. So I had to click on it. So, I mean, how do you feel about this situation?
Thumbs down, with all the distractions via TV that he's already had, why put yourself out there for any more, he probably has a marketing team that should handle that. You know, not him. He shouldn't have a hand in any of this. If he's actively on the set or saying they should do this, no, he shouldn't be a part of it in any way. Focus on basketball, you know. That's why you pay these people to have yourself out there. The way I read it is that he's going to be actively doing stuff with this, and I totally disagree with that. And just focus on basketball. Let the other stuff happen after your career if you want to get into acting and stuff like that, because you know what? You're already up under so much scrutiny. Every time you breathe and sneeze and you do something wrong and you show up on an episode, you already know people are going to be saying, well, why is he not in the gym? Why is he not doing this? So just get rid of the headache. You know, if you want to have your name on the credits, that's cool, but don't be on the set telling people to do this and do that.
Yeah, you had a tough one there, C. Rush, because T really had me, and when he made this point is you can't live your life worried about what others think or failing. You know, and a lot of people that are successful in life, I think they will tell you that they failed a lot, but we only know the good parts. So that was a good argument by T. Will, but I do see what you're saying, C. Rush. You know, if he's on the set, they're gonna be like, why ain't you in the gym? I agree with that, but I gotta go thumbs up. T made a good point, man. You can't be worried about what everybody else thinks. I agree with that. So first one, go to T-Wheel. Let's go to our second one, and C-Rush, let's go to you. The Suns just released your boy Mike Beasley. You know, they just let him go, C-Rush, and he got caught with that stuff on him again. Thumbs up if you would sign him, or thumbs down if you would pass on him.
Thumbs up. If I'm a lowly team in the NBA, I would sign him, you know. If your team isn't good, then the only way to get better is to sign better talent. You know, obviously he's had trouble with the law before, but what players haven't, you know, if he has to go into a conducive situation, and it's the NBA. People have turned their lives around, plenty of times. You know, George Lucas has a program down there in Texas to where people can turn their lives around, you know, and it's been a real success story. So he has to go to an established organization that he has something to play for. You know, he's never been in a situation where he had to play for anything. You know, he's went from Miami when they had nobody. He went to Minnesota, they had nobody. He's never been playing for anything. So you know what? Hey, I'm gonna smoke some weed and relax my mind. We're not winning. So if he goes into a situation to where somebody actually cares about him, you know, he's still a talent. So I think it's a thumbs up for him in his career.
T. Will, you taking the K-State alum?
No, I'm not going to take him. I have to say thumbs down fine. The reason I have to say thumbs down is regardless of if anybody cares about him or not, or you know, so nobody cares about you, so you go smoke weed. Nah, that's crap. You know, you're a grown man. You know, there's people out here that's making, you know, $25,000 a year that's not doing drugs, but they doing what they have to do. He doesn't deserve to have an NBA contract. He doesn't deserve to make 6 to 7 to 8 figures, you know, if he's going to blow all these chances, guys. This isn't his first, second, or third time getting caught doing drugs. He deserves to be kicked out of this league and not be signed and not have the privilege to play in the NBA again, guys. He shouldn't even be able to play professional basketball again. You know, he has a talent. He hasn't used it. And think about it. Michael Beasley was a pretty good prospect coming out of college. And what have you heard about him since he's been in the NBA? Nothing but smoking weed and doing drugs. So he hasn't progressed as a player or anything. So I say no. He's blown his chance in this league.
Wow.
Not literally blown it, but wow. Blown it.
T, shut up. Man, I don't like to award. It's hard to get a sweep on this show, man. But I got to be honest. Now, if this is true what T-Wheel said, so we're going to revisit this. If this is multiple times he's been caught, he's got to get some help before he gets signed. There's no way I can sign him if he's been multiple times. Now, I got to be honest. I'm not sure on this, but we'll revisit this. But as of right now, I got to be honest. If this is like his third or fourth time being caught, I can't sign him until he gets help. I got to get T to sweep on this one.
Might as well thank everybody, man. Just stay humble, man. Everybody stay humble, baby.
Yeah, we'll figure out if T. Will just added to the argument to win that freestyle or if that's true. Because we'll go back in the record books and cross his name out if we have to.
He fooled you, so.
No, I'm going to look it up, C-Rush. I promise you. Me and the research, we got it. We will look this up. All right, guys. We got a big one on Saturday night. Under the lights in the big house. C-Rush, last year, they beat us 13-6. You know, it's going to be the last time, you know, Notre Dame comes for a while. My man said, oh, it's just a little regional rivalry, man. It ain't even that serious anyway. I mean, what you think about this game, C-Rush?
It's a huge game. It always has been in my eyes, you know, and from a nationwide eyes. It's the reason that it's on every year at 8 p.m. When it's on ABC or whatever time slot it takes up the whole day on NBC. It's a reason for that. So, you know, Brian Kelly may be just bitter because he doesn't want to play us because he's aligning himself with the ACC. But this is a huge game, you know. For the past few years, both of these teams have been on the rise. And that's why it's disturbing that we won't be able to see this happening anymore, you know. Notre Dame has come back to prominence. Michigan's come back to prominence. And now you're taking away tradition, you know. With all the money and stuff that's going on and all the crazy stuff that happens in the NCAA, you know, you're losing tradition now. And that's one thing that sucks, you know. As a fan, I love those Texas A&M games, those Florida State games, those Florida Miami games. You know, this is the first time Florida Miami is playing in about 8 years. So, but to get back on subject, I'm really excited for this game. You know, it's going to be the last time we're going to see it. And, you know, last time we were up under the lights here, you know, we had a special quarterback named Shoelace. Come out here and electrify us and bring us back with 20 seconds left. So hopefully it's not that close this time, but hopefully Michigan gets the W.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough one for Notre Dame to pull out under the lights, especially they just looked at as a regional rivalry. T-Will, what you expect to see out of this one, T-Will?
I expect to see a great game, fine. Michigan-Notre Dame, they always end up with some classics, and I don't expect this one to be any different. Yes, of course, Golston isn't playing, but Notre Dame has moved on. And I expect to see two great programs, man, get together, and they know the history and the tradition that they have, and they know going forward that this you know, could be the last game that they play in a long time. So I expect to see an exciting game.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we scored 6 points last season. I think that will change. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. I mean, you don't want to see guys ineligible and make mistakes. But if Evan Golston was there, if that defense that they had last year was there, like I said, they scared me last year. Like, I'm not surprised that our team last year scored 6 points. I really do believe that Notre Dame was a very good football team. Even though Alabama, they was head and shoulders and SEC above everyone. Absolutely. But, I mean, they had a really good defense. Now, T. Will, this is what I want you to talk about now. Do you think Tommy Reese can beat Michigan under the lights in the big house?
Well, it's going to be tough for him, Fine. Yeah, he's going to have to play a near-perfect game. He's going to have to be a leader, make those guys around him better. And he's going to have to do it in a tough environment, Fine. You talk about over 100,000 people screaming at him in that big house. You know, it's going to be tough, Fine. It's going to be one of the tougher environments playing against one of the country's better defenses. So I'm not going to say it's impossible for him to do it, but I think he has a small chance in doing it.
See, Rush, I got Big Blue by 17. What you got?
I'm gonna say Michigan 35, Notre Dame 20.
35-20, so by 15. T. Will, what you got?
I got Michigan winning by 2 to 3 touchdowns.
Okay, yeah, because we're going to jump into our pick'ems in a second. But, yeah, I didn't want to put that in one of our point spread questions because I'll be honest, I'll pick Michigan every time. So it wouldn't be a fun competition for me because I'll just pick Michigan. So we left them out of our pick'ems. But, yeah, it's going to be a good one under the lights. Notre Dame doesn't respect the rivalry, so that's even more bulletin board material for Michigan. And I think that we'll win this game. I'm really not scared of these guys. And if our defense play like they played last week and they swarming and they all over the place and we're confusing Tommy Reese and Brian Kelly has another episode and he's over there, you know, turning red and getting upset. You know, that's what I expect to see on Saturday. But all right, guys, we're going to do some pick'ems this week. But instead of just picking winners, we're going with the point spreads. And we got three games, okay? We got Florida versus Miami, USF versus Michigan State, and South Carolina versus Georgia. So, see, Rush, we'll start with you. So the way we'll do it is I'll give the game and the point spread, and you give a quick reason why you're going with this pick. So, see, Rush, we'll go with you. Florida is going to Miami, and we got Florida minus three. Who are you going with in this game?
I'm gonna go with the Hurricanes on this one, and simply because Florida only mustered up 24 points against Toledo, a MAC team, and we know how teams are supposed to put their, you know, foot in MAC teams, and you know, they got a good program down in Miami. I keep my fingers crossed. I cheer for them, but you know, I just think that Miami will cover this spread and actually win this ball game.
I gotta agree with you on this one. I'm gonna go with Miami as well. I'm gonna take the points, but not only that, I think Miami is gonna win this game. Florida did. I agree with you. They look kind of shaky, but I gotta tell you though, Toledo's really not that bad, but I agree with you, C. Rush. If you're an SEC, I'm expecting to see 56-10. That's what I'm expecting if you're a top 10 team in the country, not 24-6. T. Will, who you got in this one?
Guys, I'm gonna go with, Florida. And I'm gonna take the points also, guys. I really do think Coach Muschamp, his team got off to a slow start against Toledo, but I think they'll respond against Miami. They know how big this game is on the road. You know, it's an in-state rivalry, and I really think Coach Muschamp, his defense will respond next week.
Yeah, I agree. This is a tough one for recruiting as well. This is important. You know, Florida's playing Florida State and Miami. They got a chance to send a message. I agree with you, T-Will. This one's going to be good. I wouldn't bet on it, but I got to go with Miami for the home opener. I just wasn't impressed with Florida like I expected to be. I don't know if they're still upset after that Sugar Bowl loss to Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not sure, but I just wasn't impressed. T-Will, we'll stick with you and your boys from USF, man. they going to play Michigan State. And Michigan State giving up 23.5, T-Will. Who you going with in this one?
Wow. Michigan State's giving up 23.5. Well, I'll be honest. I have to take USF plus 23.5 just because of simple fact. I don't know if Michigan State can score 23.5 points.
I knew you was going to take my argument.
I mean, that was just an easy one, fine. I mean, we just use common sense. That's one thing that runs. I mean, me, you, and C. Rush, that's one thing I could never say. We all have common sense. So, I mean, I just don't know if Michigan State can cover that. I don't know if they can cover that, fine.
Yeah, I don't see them scoring 23 points either, even if they win. I just don't. And these guys just lost to the Arts. And they were just embarrassed. So, I mean, at least we're going to see a lot of effort in this game. So, I got to be honest. I got to take USF as well. See, Rush, I mean, what you think about this one? Minus 23.5.
Give me the Bulls.
Give you the Bulls, okay.
Yeah. Cause you know what? And Michigan State could win this game 17-0. You know, and that's not covering the spread. That defense is good enough to score on his own, you know, so the offense can flutter again. If they don't, it's Tuesday. I don't know who their starting quarterback is, so give me the Bulls.
Yeah, I think Michigan State defense, C-Rush, I agree. I think they got to score about three times for them to cover this spread. I just really do. I think they got to score three times, two at the least. I really do. All right, let's get into our last one, C-Rush. We'll keep it here with you. Another goodie. I don't know. Georgia playing. They playing Clemson. Now they got to play the old ball coach. Georgia minus three versus South Carolina. C. Rush, who you got?
I'm gonna take Georgia with this one. And I'm gonna take the points as well. You know, they know that their season's basically on the line right now. You know, not from a, they can still get to an SEC championship game if they lose this game, but mentally, they're probably going to this practice say, okay, we cannot lose again. And that's no fault of their own by playing Clemson week one. You know, Jadeveon Clowney, good player, but he doesn't run the ball for South Carolina as well. You know, is Connor Shaw going to have the confidence, you know, is Steve Spurrier going to have the confidence in him not to yank him if something goes wrong. You know, they played a not too talented North Carolina team last week, but you know, Steve Spurrier in games like that, he may quarterback shuffle a little bit. So I'm going to go with the rebound dog, Bulldogs, and I'm going to take Georgia.
Yeah. I got to be honest. I'm not a gambler. I don't like to bet. But out of these three games, if this is one I was going to bet on, I'm taking Georgia. I think Georgia's going to pummel them. I'm just going to be honest. I think they blow them out. T. Will, who you got?
Give me Georgia, and I'll take the points also. I think it's only a few teams in the country that opened up against tough opponents, and Georgia was one of them against Clemson. And I think that prepares them for week two to go into another tough battle. Georgia opened up on the road, and you know they had basically everything against them. They played a top 10 opponent. They were on the road, hostile environment. I think that helps them in week two. I take Georgia.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see. We'll see. We'll review these picks next week. All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed the show. We're going to close it out now. See Rush. You have a good show.
You know, it's always fun having a show on football week, man.
Yeah, it is. I agree 100%. If we can get another show in before Sunday, we'll do the NFL games as well. And I always forget about that Thursday opener. We should have picked that one as well. But anyway, we'll get to that one next time. T. Will, you have a good show?
Oh, man, it was awesome fun. I mean, we're in the midst of game week here. So, yeah, I had a great week, man. And it's nothing like taking the show fine from the gridiron, you know, to the internet, man.
I know that's right, man. This was a really good show. We really liked the doing the pick'ems, but, you know, I tried to get some difficult games. I wanted to leave Michigan out because I would just take Michigan every time. That's what I'm pretty sure we'll all do because can't come on this show if you're not picking Michigan anyway, so that wouldn't really work. So, hey, send us an email. If you got a game that you really want us to break down, it's a key matchup, let us know. Send us some questions. You know, let's get some more participation. I'm still getting the phone calls and texts. Hit us up, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. Search us on iTunes, Wilson Rush Podcast, Wilson Rush on Twitter. And that's it. We always represent 7 Mile, and we out. DJ Clips, Rev City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast. With your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T. Will, Far Wilson, and C. Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 Mile.